Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
Yeah, our own Kelly O'Donnell reports that it's possible that we might not even get to learn who actually brought this small bag he is. So I'm sure that's a sigh of relief to whoever sort of made the boneheaded move of bringing a bag of cocaine to the White House. But because this was in a, not an area that, is highly trafficked, but not wasn't necessarily covered by cameras stopping all that well. You know, it's an area that a decent amount of people had access to. It just makes that investigation a little bit difficult. So, you know, this could all end without, necessarily anyone being named as the person who was responsible for bringing that bag.
You know what? The hallway in the back of my house is highly trafficked.
Yep.
Highly, highly trafficked with all the traffic. I don't know if you guys knew that. You guys have places in your homes that are highly trafficked.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people like the little entrance from the garage when they go into the garage in the back of their house. Highly trafficked area.
Yep.
Super highly trafficked. I mean, Kane, I'm sure like all of your there's like areas in your home highly trafficked.
Highly trafficked.
You get like, you know, ones of people going through there.
Sometimes twos of people.
Sometimes twos. Can we, this is the talking point that I have heard over and over again all day yesterday. Every time I heard it, I was like, dink, dink, dink. I actually want to find an American-made little counter thing and just clock it just so I can see how often this is said. Because not only was it all over MSNBC and CNN, I have a million tweets where people were like, I'm pulling this up right now, forgive me. I'm not going to flood you, Juan, I promise. Juan's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to put all the... No, I mean, there's like, I have like 20... I think that was like a talking point that went out. Highly trafficked, because I'm literally looking right now. All I have to put into my bookmark system is highly trafficked. And here it all comes. Highly trafficked area. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Article, video, video, video. So that was the sound. That was like the talking point that went out yesterday. And there's a reason they're trying to put into your mind the seed of doubt that maybe, just maybe, could have been left there. And that's the beginning of our Friday program. Happy Friday to you. It's a very short work week. Next week will be a full one. You're a lovable curmudgeon. Super lovable. Well rested, well fed. Dana Lash here with you to kick off your pre-weekend activities. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast as well on channel 347. That's DirecTV, YouTube, where the discussion always goes on, and Facebook, too. So, highly trafficked. What does it mean, highly trafficked? Let's break it down. What does highly trafficked mean? Because highly trafficked could mean a number of things. That's where all the staffers go, or that's where all, you know, the Marines that protect the president. That's such a misnomer. They say that to you to make it seem like it was the Wild West and everybody had access. And that's not the case. It's not the case at all. Anyone who's ever been to the White House, there are certain areas where the public has public tours and they lead public tours through. And then there are other areas that are cordoned off and they have security there, whether it's Secret Service, whether it's, you know, military, they have security that are there. And the only people that can pass through are if you have your certain badge, high ranking, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whether or not it's high traffic is irrelevant. That's this red herring that's thrown out to try to plant, as I said, the seed of doubt in your mind that this could have been anyone. associated with White House employment, particularly Hunter. It couldn't have been Hunter Biden. It was a highly trafficked area. That also just means that a lot of people that were surveilled and followed closely, they passed through there. That's nothing. But that's what everyone is pushing. All the media, as I was just saying, I mean, I could sit here and it's like beating a horse, a dead horse to death again. That was the thing that went out. Those were the talkers that went out. But as I said, that doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't mean anything, because highly trafficked really just means that, I mean, you're talking about the most surveilled, locked down building in America. I mean, seriously, it does not take some fantasy CSI squad with an inspo board to put together a whodunit. You don't need all of that. I mean, that's the thing. Now, one of you actually emailed me. Yeah, Charlie Day style. One of you actually emailed me because there was something that we said at the end of the show. And they were like, I'm at work, you know, please don't share my name. And I thought it was kind of funny. But remember when we talked towards the end of the show, Kane and Steve, because on break yesterday, Steve was saying, yeah, I don't think it was somebody young. And I'm like, I don't think it was either. And we all agreed for the simple fact that they're all millennials and Gen Z are terrified. They are terrified creatures, terrified. This is an elderly Gen X or baby boomer that did this. That's what it is. And the person who wrote, they were like, I was listening live and I had my earbuds in. They were streaming the show and they thought, oh my gosh, that is so right. They said, I work with, you know, it's a pretty diverse, generational workplace. And they said, it is so true. The millennials, they whine, but they're not confrontational. And Gen X just like, it's really because Gen Z hates everybody. They were raised by Gen X. So I thought that was kind of funny. There's no way they're going to do that. But like I said, it doesn't matter how trafficked it is. This is the White House. It's the most guarded, most advanced, surveilled. And by advanced, I mean, you have security that shows up every day, hours before the president ever gets there. And they always do their walk arounds. They always check and make sure everything's okay. And it's the most surveilled. And then everyone there is surveilled. Everyone there is background checked. There are certain parts of the White House, of the West Wing, that you cannot access. I don't care how high traffic it is. So this is stupid. Just reject that out of your mind. Because it is a dumb talking point that they're using. It's Hunter's crack or his cocaine. Come on. Now, here's the other thing. And we mentioned this yesterday, and I just wanted to come back to this real quick. And then we've got to get to some other stuff. We got jobs numbers out. The White House is trying to spin it, all kinds of stuff. Biden was saying, remember the story that came out that Biden was keeping his son close because they were worried about a relapse? Yeah. And then cocaine is found. Kane, what drug did Hunter snort?
Coke.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the whole, you know, saying of the cover-up exceeding the severity of the crime, it's a saying for a reason. And the reason that we all think it's Hunter's is because he has a very recent history. And then the White House sources, as a way to defend against criticism that Biden was keeping Hunter so close, they were saying, oh, well, because he was worried about a relapse. Okay, there you go, right there. Now, one other quick thing. If you get the email newsletter from Substack, Chapter and Verse, I sent this out to you. I have another thing that I'm going to, a weekend wrap up that I'm going to send out probably later tonight. I may schedule it for tomorrow, but I have a very interesting way back story involving the Bidens on that. It's so cringe. But this piece was from The New Yorker, and this was back in 2019. So do you remember when Hunter Biden, because he apparently struggled with this all of his life. He was an addict like his whole life. Like he just doesn't care. And it sounds like he gets special treatment wherever he goes because he wanted to go into the reserves, the naval reserves back in 2013. And he wanted to work in naval intelligence, apparently couldn't cut it. So they gave him a job in public affairs. Right now, he had to get one waiver already because he was older. And he had to get a second waiver because he had previously done drugs. So he had to have not one, but two waivers. Now, it's not unusual if someone wants to serve in the reserves and they want to get a waiver because there are age restrictions. But after that, it's pretty strict. So that's not unusual, the waiver for an age restriction. What is, though, is that he got another one, according to The New Yorker, because he had to admit his previous record of drug abuse, like serious drug abuse. And so get this. The way they write this story, they were trying to soften this blow. They were trying to really soften this blow. So it says that he was given a job in the public affairs unit in a small private ceremony at the White House. He was sworn in by his dad, and this was in 2013. So dad is VP. Later that month, the night before Hunter's first weekend, his first weekend of reserve duty, first, he stopped at a bar a few blocks from the White House. And outside, now tell me if you believe this story. Outside, Hunter said, he bummed a cigarette from two men who were from South Africa. He felt amped up as he was driving down to Norfolk and then incredibly exhausted. He said he called Bo and explained, I don't know what's going on. Bo then drove from Delaware to meet Hunter at a hotel near the naval station. He said he got me in ship shape and drove me onto the base. And then the first day, Hunter had a urine sample taken for testing. He failed it because he had done drugs. So he was discharged. He didn't even do the first weekend in Naval Reserve. He was discharged because he did drugs. Do you honestly believe that this middle-aged dude, oh, I just randomly borrowed a cigarette and who knew that they had cocaine in it? Do you believe this? And then he blamed it on South African men on top of it. This is some real juicy sommelier stuff right here. Did they scream, this is MAGA country too? I'm curious. So he scapegoats two dudes from South Africa as the reason why he was discharged from the Navy before his first week of reserve duty. But sure, it's not Hunter's cocaine. Yeah, sure, we believe that. So some of the other things that we're watching, because we're going to come back to this. We got the all kinds of stuff, including some things going on with GOP in 2024. Have you heard this story about, oh, this is a crazy one, Eric Adams? Did you guys hear this story? Okay, so let me explain. It's a lot of drama in this one, some drama. So in this story, Eric Adams, as you know, New York City mayor, he's accused, and this is by the New York Times, he's accused of making up the story about keeping the photo of a fallen officer in his wallet. And the accusation is that City Hall aides splashed coffee on the photo to make it look old. I am not making this up. This was the fight that was brewing all late yesterday. I see Kane immediately raising his eyebrows like a concerned troll. Just say it. Just say it.
That was after it was proven. He printed it out on Google. Went on Google, found it, turned it into a black and white and splashed coffee
like,
on it.
He said that for decades he's carried this photo of this police officer friend who died in, this guy died in the line of duty very bravely. But then the New York Times started doing some digging and they found that he actually created it only after he brought it up in media interviews. And I guess he realized, oh my gosh, people are going to ask for me to produce this. So apparently, as Kane said, they Googled a photo and then like made it, try to make it, they aged it. They got all HGTV on it. Decided to, you know, do some coffee staining, decided to give it a patina. And that's what. Now, a week after this, because he had said one, at a news conference last year, he goes, I think about Robert. That's the guy whose name that's he said his name was. He goes, I keep a picture of Robert in my wallet. Now, a week later, the New York Times was like, OK, can we see this wallet size photo? And you know that they were going, oh, crap. What? And so several days after they made the request, then Adams's office produced the photo and they posed for a portrait with it in his office. And it just seems like the New York Times wasn't convinced. It is a weird looking photo, is it not? It's weird. We're going to talk more about this because the New York Times, yes, they did some journalism. Every now and then they do. It's just weird that they do it with this, but like not the Hunter Biden stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a ton of photos on that for you to check out on the laptop. I mean, you guys would go crazy on that. So maybe look into it. I don't know. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around this story, and I'm waiting for Kane's response. Let's put bets on how often or how early he says probiotics. So the story is that apparently nearly half of like all of our tap water in the United States is laced with hormone-warping forever chemicals linked to cancer. The major government study says cancer and fertility. The worst hit areas are in California, the Eastern Seaboard, Great Lakes, Great Plains. Sounds like everywhere. Sounds like everywhere. They said it's a sprawling study. It's from the U.S. Geological Survey. They tested water sources at more than 700 locations across the country. That's wow. So the forever chemicals, I mean, some of that stuff comes from like pesticides and cookware and nonstick coating and things like that. I'm starting to really hate the nonstick coating stuff. So I don't know. Like, do we drink the water? What do? There's a reason why they had drank wine back in the day. Prepare to pay more for food deliveries. DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub, which sucks. Grubhub's horrible. Sue New York City over the $17 an hour minimum wage law for food delivery workers. They said it's going to push food prices or the delivery fees higher, which it will. And the Biden administration quietly raised the number of illegal immigrants allowed into the country. More on that coming up. Stick with us. What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience, and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward, visit angel.com/freedom. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Well, I think culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning. We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how people are experiencing life. And I think about it in that way, too.
So I also did that when I needed to get a word count met at the end of a book report when I was in school. Well, I think it's culture, which is about how we, you know, I mean, it comes in the morning. It's how we talk to each other. Yeah. That's the vice president of the United States. Is she prepared for anything? It's culture for the love. Come on. So this was at the Essence Festival in New Orleans. That was happening during some Independence Day celebrations. Now, welcome back to the program, by the way. Dana Lash with you. If you thought that was unfortunate, oh, do I have something special for you? People are very particular about how the national anthem is sung. Are we not? I still say the greatest rendition, one of the greatest ones I've ever heard, was Whitney Houston when she did it. Oh my gosh, sweatband and all. She went out there and just ripped the roof off. Was there a roof on that stadium? I don't know, but she did. If there was one, it's gone now. It was amazing. That was like one of the most historic. It was amazing. If you can't do it like Whitney, then just do it regular, okay? If you're not Whitney, then just don't do it. Don't do the, I can't stand that. When you have like a jazz run in a one syllable word, stop. You don't need to complicate it, right? It's like over seasoning food. You don't need to. Sometimes you just let the food shine, right? It's like, oh, if you over season meat that you're grilling, you got to let the meat shine. You got to let the melody shine. Now, the anthem is actually one of the most difficult songs to sing. Because all the octaves, all the different ranges, everything else, it's like you have to have a very varied voice. And it's difficult to sing. Beautiful song. And when it's done right, it's stunning, as, you know, Whitney did. Even Chris Stapleton, he sang it. It's Chris Stapleton. He's not Whitney. But he did it in his way while still allowing the song, the melody, and the meaning to shine. It was great, right? So you don't have to have the vocal cords of Whitney Houston. You can still do it your way. But the one way that you don't do it is by trying to butcher it on purpose with different words so that you can make a woke example. And that's what Jill Scott did. She is getting a lot of pushback, which she ought to, because this was ridiculous. I mean, it's sad because of how she did it, but it also is ridiculous because, I don't know, I mean, she's been around for a while. She ain't no Whitney. Oh, I said it. She ain't. And this was her singing the national anthem, but she changed it. She didn't say land of the free. She said blood built this land. Oh, she really redid it. And, well, if you want to listen to some of it. Kay made me listen to the whole thing. You did.
I did.
It's payback. Paybacksies. Right. Listen to this. Hoo boy.
Oh, say, can you see?
Okay, that wasn't anything special. You don't need to, like, turn your
by
head away from
me. The blood in the street. That this place doesn't smile on you, colored child.
Jeez.
Who's blood?
Oh my gosh, and she keeps going.
Built this land.
Wow.
With sweat and
had a stretch. Okay, I'm done. I can't, man. I can't. I'm gonna like. So, that was the her version of the anthem. So she changed the words of it entirely. And if you don't want to sing the anthem, don't sing the anthem. But you don't have to be an ass about it. And she was. That's some capital B stuff right there. That's ridiculous. I mean, you're sitting here telling people that they are experiencing a suppression that they have not experienced. You're trying to borrow from history to drive a division that enriches you today. That's what this whole grifting cottage industry has become. I mean, it's insane. I'm going to tell you what, there's no country that's perfect. But I'll be damned if I compare the United States to any other country and act like my country is lacking, because it is not. Try to find one better. Find one better. My gosh. I mean, at least if you're going to go up and do something like that. Good grief. I'm embarrassed for her. I'm embarrassed for her. And that's just shameful. I mean, she decided to preach division. Preach division. I mean, constantly. I'm so tired of people doing this. And the people that preach division the loudest are the ones that make the most bank off of it. They get the attention. If you preach, you know what? If you preach unity and peace, it doesn't get as much attention. That is something that is with the nature of humanity. And there are actors out there. And I'm talking about performers, operatives, everybody. You got all of these people that it's easier for them to play into the division than the unity, because it elevates them. You get to look like you're doing one better. You're pointing something out. You're raising the alarm. The attention is on you. You get to look like the contrarian thought leader when you're just pushing division, never offering any solutions, preaching about an oppression you didn't experience. And that wasn't experienced by only one demographic throughout human history. Humanity is just awful altogether. That's why we had to have a savior. But with this, there is just something in human nature where we gravitate towards strife. We do. I'm always amazed when people say, oh, we don't need any more division. No more this, no more that. But yet they promote it. They propagate it. They publish it. They celebrate it. They make money off of it. And even if it's not directly in the form of a dollar, it is indirectly in the form of influence. I was watching this. I was telling Kane about this. To the top story of Daily Mail. I have a love-hate relationship with that horrible fecal storm of a entity. It's like one of the biggest papers in the world, and it's the only publication where you can look like you're reading about current events, and then they have all the garbage on the side, you know, all the celebrity gossip on the side. So you get to look like you're really, look, I know I'm reading this thing about what's happening here with trade and South Pacific. Oh, it's crazy. And really, we're looking at the garbage. Like, who slapped Britney? But the top story on Daily Mail, I woke up, looked at the top story on Daily Mail, and it has to do with some lady at a very expensive condominium thing. I'm going to make some people mad. I can't trust you if you pay $1 million for a condo. I can't. I'm sorry. If you're not, if you don't need to live in Manhattan and work in Manhattan and you're paying $1 million, I just can't. I don't get it. Like, why? Don't have your house be touching other people for $1 million. Anyway, so these like really bougie condos, right? And it's just, you know, complex, and it has its own pool. So this lady was there. I didn't want to play the because it's so, but it's just to further my example of how people are obsessed with this stuff. Top story, Daily Mail. And this video of this woman losing her mind because a family was having a birthday party at the pool has gone viral. But was that all it was, Dana? Well, I mean, in a normal person's world, it would be. But because we have to share this planet with progressives, all of this other stuff has to get thrown in. Well, she's white, and the family that she's mad at is Hispanic. So apparently it's all racist. Well, she said Mexican party at one point. Well, I mean, I've got a lot of Hispanic friends, and I have Italian friends, and I've got Irish friends, and I am part Irish. I got a lot of different, some people have better parties than others. Sorry. Can I just say it? It's true. It's completely true. Some of y'all have boring parties, and some people's cultures just, you have better parties. Sorry, you just do. So, but the progressives are like, oh, there's got to be an element of that in there. Now, I watched the video because I hate myself. So I watched the video. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, is it going to come up and be a story? All she said was they were having like a Mexican party or something like that. And then she was fighting with the family. The family was fighting with her. I suspect everyone except the kids involved were drunk. And it's like a viral video and now everybody's talking about it. And then it prompted her. They found out that she's, I don't actually know what her job is. It sounds something bougie and dumb, if I'm being honest. It's she was an art consultant. Oh, a spatial something and feng shui expert. I don't know. Apparently, it's all about like if you, however you have your furniture in your house makes you happy. I don't know. Anyway, so then this is why I think they were all drunk. The family and her started arguing over Hermes, like the fashion label. I don't even know how that's like part of the video. And we can't even play it because there's an F-bomb literally every other millisecond. And they were arguing over, you don't even know what brand of sandals these were. So that's why I don't think the family is entirely innocent either, because they were helping to drive it. But because we live in a garbage society, well, immediately she's a white Karen. So she's immediately, there you go, convicted and penalized. The family was arguing with it. It sounds like everybody was just, they were a bunch of drunk blockheads. That's what it sounds like. And everybody's been sharing this and they're all, oh, you got to give your hot take, because are you really participating in the conversation if you are not giving a hot take? Do you exist if you don't have a hot take to offer? It's the question of the times, is it not? This is the top story. There's cocaine in the White House, but that's the top story. It's Hunter's cocaine, but we're going to pretend that we don't know whose it is, but this is the top story. I did find it amusing that they were talking about like brands of bracelets and sandals about dyed. It was so funny. But you know, because everybody has a phone, everyone thinks that what is happening to them is the most important thing. Oh my gosh. Someone got mad at me at the pool. I'm going to make a viral video. And then this place that this chick worked at, I don't even know. Some gallery, Masters Gallery in Denver. Oh my gosh. Like, she hadn't even worked there in over a year, right? So this comes out, and they're like, oh, my gosh, we got to hurry up and issue a statement about somebody who hasn't even worked here for a year. You mean the gallery who wasn't at the pool, who doesn't have a relationship with this woman, who hasn't had anything to do with her for a year and a half, is going to have to issue a statement saying that they condemn her? What did she ever go through a fast food place? Did she go through a Starbucks? Do they need to issue a statement? Yes, we did serve her an ice mocha frappe with almond milk the other day, but we condemn this behavior. Only of her, not of the people with whom she was arguing, who are probably just as guilty. Only her. Don't loot us. Jeez. I hate her. I hate everything. Where's Smod? Damn it. Where's Smod? I just want a big flaming rock to come and hit this one like it's a cue ball. Come on. All right. We got a lot more to get into as we get moving. Because we got Days of These United States, Les États-Unis. And then we have a whole other couple of hours finishing up this Friday.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I'm not here to declare victory on the economy. I'm here to say we have a plan that's turning things around quickly.
What? I don't really think that's how that works. Those are the jobs numbers. Jobs numbers are out. And Biden, he's been trying to promote his successful Bidenomics, right? He's been trying to, I'm confused by his statement because he started this week positioning himself as this savior for the economy, right? I mean, that's what he went out to. He went out and his remarks were based around this premise that he had saved the economy and he created 13 trillion jobs, Kane, with an F. Trillion.
That's a real number.
Real numbers. Yeah. But you know what, though? When you look at wage loss, and when you look at the inability of wages to keep up with the cost of products, with inflation, consumer price index, And I think what they said, the average loss of wealth, specifically related to the middle class, was like $33,000 per household. Yeah, that's the average. That's the average. Wow. So that's what Bidenomics is. He can't declare victory in the economy because there isn't any victory on the economy. You feel it, you see it, and it's gradually, well, it's not getting better. That's for sure. We got a lot more on the way. Second hour coming up. Don't miss. Stick with us. Right back after this.
You know, I'm cynical, and Judge, you can be too at times. How is it that we've never had cocaine in the White House until we have somebody with a record of using cocaine who was in the White House just about the same time? Right. I'm cynical enough to think that it's not just an accident, that in fact the policies of the White House that let Hunter Biden in let somebody in with cocaine, and they got stoned and forgot to take it with them, apparently.
Well, do you know why this is still a story today? Because they keep lying about it. They keep changing the story. They've changed it 3 times now. That's why it's still a story. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Your bemused curmudgeon, Dana Loesch, here with you. And you can stream the program. You can listen terrestrially, obviously, across the country. You can stream the program. You can watch the simulcast of said program on DirecTV, channel 347. You can also watch via Facebook and YouTube, where there's always good discussion. Now, and sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Always good stuff over there as well. So this is why it is a thing still, because they keep changing the story and they keep making it a story because they keep changing the story. It's the wildest thing I think I've ever seen. I mean, lately, wilder. I'm fascinated because they could have really just, I think, solved this, you know, or made it minimize the story at least. But they keep changing it because it first started. They said, well, we had the original audio from that was from the hazmat crew, audio 7x12. That was when they said that it was in the library, the working library. Listen.
Gemini's results are a name match found with a red bar, name match found in the library.
What? So they found that in the library. That was the hazmat crew. And then it was, oh, well, no, maybe it's not near the library. It's in West Wing. Yeah.
We have just learned that a formal lab has confirmed the suspicion that white powdery substance found in the West Wing on Sunday was, in fact, positive for cocaine.
West Wing. West Wing. Is this the cubby? No.
Yeah, the West Wing is the cubby.
Okay, the West Wing was the cubby. Okay. Yeah. Then it went from, oh, well, maybe it's not the West Wing. Maybe it's by the Situation Room.
What we have learned is that there are, in fact, 2 West Wing entrances. You know that, I know that, but for the benefit of our audience. And now the investigation has progressed, and so they're saying the West Executive entrance, which, as you noted, is closer to the Situation Room and closer to the Navy mess, where there's the facilities for food and so forth. It is also next to West Executive Drive. That's where, for example, the Vice President's vehicle is parked.
You know, we're not saying it was her, but she did come in with white powder all over her face. It's not like coincidence. So it went from library, West Wing, it's by the Situation Room. Kamala's could be. This is like Step Brothers. Investors, maybe you. So it would explain the word salad. The frantic, manic kind of word salad that she always has.
That's true. That is true.
But it's Hunter.
But she speaks so slow. That's the
yeah. She seems tired when she does it though. So that's a very good point. Nah, it's Hunter's. That's Hunter's rock. Yeah. That's just snowflakes. That's what that is. So they change. That's why this is a story. Like I said, because they keep changing it, and then they are like, oh, it's very conveniently not covered well by cameras, Andrea. Well, that's stunning. You mean to tell me that the cocaine moved to an area that it's not really well surveilled by cameras? Yes, that's correct, Andrea. It's not really well covered very conveniently by cameras. But remember, in the very beginning, they were calling it cocaine hydrochloride.
Yeah.
That was after it was first discovered. And immediately they're like, well, maybe it's the cocaine hydrochloride. Could be that. They really legitimately ran that. They wanted you to desperately believe that it was that. Now, they couldn't dispute the hazmat audio. So they couldn't say, well, it wasn't cocaine. They couldn't do, they had to say, well, maybe it was cocaine hydrochloride. Maybe it was some old-timey nasal spray from the 1800s. Maybe it was that. Like all these headlines. I mean, I'm reading verified, like legitimate newspapers and networks. DC fire hazmat officials reports they have found a substance that tests positive for cocaine hydrochloride. At the White House. Breaking. Cocaine hydrochloride spotted near West Executive Wing. Spotted. I just spotted it. Wow. So it was used originally. It was like a nasal thing that they would numb your nasal cavities before surgery. And that's what it was. And it's considered a local anesthetic. And they were trying to spin it like that's what it was. Oh, no, it's just someone. It's a medical product. No one believes that, right? Seriously, because if it was cocaine hydrochloride, you know, I don't know what kind of doctors these people are going to, but I never seen a medical product that's just kept in a baggie. Okay. And if it was a nasal spray, it would be in a spray bottle for the nasal area, not a bag.
But you snort it, you see.
Oh, like cocaine?
Yeah, but this is cocaine hydrochloride.
Oh.
It's not, though, is it?
No.
Oh, man. I mean, I love it. I mean, they're sitting here going, it's cocaine hydrochloride? Maybe it is? I mean, no, it's cocaine. It's cocaine. It's the powdered stuff, right? It's what it is. Just saying, it's definitely not a nasal spray. Definitely not that. But they really wanted you to believe it. So that's why they changed their story so many times. But, I mean, now because, you know, it very conveniently... The hazmat team, I guess, did know where they were.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, right? They were wrong. They weren't in the library, Andrea. They were, in fact, in Kamala Harris's car. She had some books in there. They mistook it for the library. So you mean to tell me that the hazmat team in D.C., they were actually in the vice president's car, not in the White House library? Yes, Andrea, that is correct. Very conveniently, where it is not covered well by any kind of cameras or recording devices at all whatsoever. Yeah, just the luck of it, right? No, they're never going to find the schneef snuffer. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. I have to touch on Corinne Jean-Pierre's statement. Where she says, what I wanted to be very clear is that this is a heavily, heavily trafficked, heavily traveled area of the campus of the White House. It's heavily trafficked. No, it's not. Only people who have cleared background checks, who have access, security clearance, etc., are allowed to go through there. They would know whose it is. It's Hunter's. Come on. I mean, I don't know why they act like it's the cover up that's getting worse than anything else. It's just insane. It makes me think of I kept seeing all these memes from Scarface, which I may or may not have used one. So there you have it. But if that wasn't dumb enough, if that wasn't a more ridiculous, if that wasn't the most ridiculous story of the day, you realize too. That I don't know if it can get that much worse for Eric Adams right now. I'm still trying to get over this whole story. So the mayor of New York City had been talking about this fallen officer who was a friend of his, and he kept his picture in his wallet, kept it in his wallet, guys. It was very important to him.
From the
80s. From the 80s. Yeah. And the officer was killed in the line of fire in 1987. And Adams, you know, tells the press, he was talking about this since last year. He's like, oh, I keep this officer's photo in my wallet. He's like, I understand the pain. You know, he's like, the pain never dissipates. And he's talking about shared pain. And so the New York Times is like, all right, where's the photo? Can you show us the photo? And I'm sure at that point his aides freaked out and were like, sir, do we have the photo? Do we have it? And no, they had to produce it. I mean, he's really used this as a way to talk about how tough he is on crime. And so it, apparently he faked it. They got it off Google and they aged it with coffee. At least that's according to a New York Times report. You can't make this stuff up. And then when the New York Times had asked him to produce the image, he went into their office and showed them that. So, and it's weird because the officer's family says they don't ever recall meeting him. This isn't the first time he's lied, though. He said he was a vegan before, and then he was caught ordering meat. Maybe his definition of a vegan and, you know, our definition of a vegan is different, but... Why do people lie about the stupid stuff? Why do they lie about the dumbest things? Like Biden going out there making up stories, just pulling it out of his backside. Just making it up. And then some of the spin doctors for Adams, they're saying, oh, the media is trying to make him look like a liar because he is. I mean, they're not trying to. They're just saying, hey, look, a liar. That's all they're saying. Oh, my gosh. That's not difficult. Oh man, it's not difficult at all. All right, so a couple of other things here, because we've had I really don't want to get into this, the woke stuff. Let's talk about 2024. I really don't want to get into the CDC chest feeding thing because it grosses me out so bad. I'm going to dry heave on the show, and I really don't want to do that. So 2024, Casey DeSantis launches Mamas for DeSantis. Can I just stop right here and talk about the media reaction to this real quick? Did you see the reporters out there going, who says the word mamas? Hands to sky. Yes. Yes. They were out there saying, who says the word mamas? Actual, like, verified journalists. Like, they were trying to take issue with the fact that. And then someone was like, well, people say mamas. And then there was an argument over, is it with an O or an A? They were trying to figure out some kind of way to argue that there was some offense given because she had Mamas for DeSantis. By the way, it's not, she helped, I think, you know, organize this nationally, but there were women in Florida who came together that were backing what DeSantis was doing with schools. And that's where it started. It was kind of like the Moms for Liberty. It was like moms coming together. And I cannot believe that was actually a thing. They were trying to act like that it was somehow mean or there was something to be some reason to be offended because she used the term mamas. These are the same people that use the term chest feeding and talk about birthing people and menstruators. Oh my, Kane's eyes got so big because he sits in kind of a dark corner of the studio. And his eyes get so big, it sometimes looks like those, you know, the candy Easter bunny eyes, where they're just huge white circles.
Sometimes I can't hide the cringe.
Golly, are you almost choked on your, what is that, coconut water?
Yeah.
You're done with the juices now?
Not necessarily.
No? Okay. Got your big old coconut water over there. All right. Yeah. Mamas is not a weird term. What is wrong with that word? I mean, these people are going to get offended over everything. They're offended over that. Mamas. They're just mad because women banded together and they were pushing back against all this progressive stuff. Did you see the way they're going after Moms for Liberty?
Oh, yeah.
They were calling them Klanned Karenhood. Karenhood is what they were calling them. I mean, forget the fact that the leaders of Moms for Liberty, in fact, a lot of these moms groups were disproportionately minority moms that were fed up. But see, progressives, what are you going to do? Are you going to go after a Muslim mother? Like Asra Normani, are you going to go after her? How's the left going to go after her without indicting themselves by their own rules? How are they going to go after Hispanic moms, black moms? How are they going to go after those mothers without indicting themselves by their own rules? They can't. There's a war on moms. That's what it is. So you had the... You always kind of define every election cycle by, this has been going on since like the 90s. So it was the soccer moms in the 90s with Clinton. It was the security moms with Bush. And now we have the moms who are going to the school board meetings. And, well, that's that vote's already been locked up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Outrage as a Lyft driver, a 31-year-old who had previously served as an interpreter for U.S. Special Forces in Afghanistan, was shot and killed. Suspects were caught on camera fleeing the scene. This Northern Virginia man, he was finishing up a late-night shift of driving for the rideshare company Lyft. It was in Washington, D.C. just after midnight on Monday. Police are asking for the public's help in identifying the suspect seen on video. They sent a press release that officers responded. They found the, after reports of an unconscious person, they found the 31-year-old Nasrat Ahmed Yar of Alexandria, Virginia. He was shot inside of his vehicle, and he had previously served and helped our forces over in Afghanistan. That's just ridiculous. You survive that, and then you go to D.C., and then this is what happens. Airlines want you to rent clothes to save on luggage fees for overseas flights. No, thank you. Japan Airlines, their Anywhere initiative. They want to cut down on carbon emissions. I don't care. You're going to rent clothes instead of just packing your own? No. And they're monitoring sharks with drones off of Long Island after some attacks. Stay with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Gentlemen of the United States, my husband, Doug Emhoff. And he's the first second gentleman of the United States.
What? First second gentleman of the United States. That's Kamala Harris. She doesn't get better. You know, at some point you would think that you're out there and you're talking to people over and over and over and over again, as she does. I mean, she campaigned, et cetera, et cetera. You would think that maybe, you know, she would feel more at ease, but she always looks nervous and terrified. She still looks like she's terrified of public speaking. You're a prosecutor, or were. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you as we round out this week. Catch you up to date. And you can stream the show. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse as well. All right. So, it's kind of a, thankfully, it's a somewhat of a slower news week. And everyone's been trying to focus on anything else but Biden's and the cocaine and the IRS thing, the plea deal, everything else. Eric Adams, the Hunter Biden team, they've all been fighting back, trying to, on the GOP probe. There was a transcript from the IRS whistleblower who was questioning the validity of it. Apparently one of the I don't want to say missing, but one of the whistleblowers released a video. As that goes on, keep an eye on Gavin Newsom. Just watch what he does. Keep your eye on him, because they got him out there waiting in the wings. He's just waiting. No one's hitting him. Notice nobody's hitting him. He's just standing there in the wings waiting. He's being a team player. He's saying, I'm here if you need me. And then he's kind of running a soft campaign, still doing the whole thing. Just, you know, doing his Biden is time. There you go, right there. Now, in the meantime, looking at some of the 2024 stuff, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., why are some Republicans so fascinated with this guy? He treated his ex-wife like absolute SH. He did. Are you guys familiar with that story? Didn't he have an affair on her with that lady who was on Curb Your Enthusiasm? He cheated on his wife, and then she was all suicidal. Didn't she kill herself? I mean, it's a horrible, sad story. But he apparently, from everything that was publicly reported, was an absolute jackwagon to this lady. I mean, yeah, we agree with him on the coronavirus vaccine, but that doesn't mean that he's the second Jesus. I don't know why some Republicans, oh my gosh, we agree with him on the coronavirus vaccine. Climb up on that cross, Robert F.K. Climb up on that cross. I see this from like some of my friends even, and I'm like, are you high? Like, did you accidentally get into that cubby? Or the Situation Room, or Kamala's car, to get some of Gunner's cocaine? Like, what in the world? So he was asked, apparently, about the Moms for Liberty stuff. And that's the group that's all about parental rights and education. Just FYI, I mean, I've talked to some, there's some of them are Democrats. Some of the moms who run the damn group are Democrats. It's not just Republicans. Why does the media get a pass for this? There were like five groups of moms out of Virginia alone. One of them was founded by Azra Nomani and some other moms from her school district. There was another that was like Democrats, another that was like a Republican and a Democrat, and their kids were friends. I mean, you shouldn't even have to do that. It should just be about common sense. But the media so desperately wants to discredit it by making it to be this like political partisan thing, and it's not. Anyway, long story short, RFK Jr. was going to be speaking at their Joyful Warriors National Summit in Philly. And that's, I guess, the Moms for Liberty group. But then a week later, the campaign released a statement saying that his schedule changed and he couldn't speak at the summit. And then in 24 hours, they gave three different reasons as to why they couldn't speak. So on June 27th, and Daily Signal reported this, Kennedy's campaign team said that they had to turn it down because of schedule changes, and then it was family reasons. And then he told the crowd that he had no knowledge that the event was scheduled, and he blamed a female staffer. And then when an audience member said that it doesn't sound like you're being consistent with your answers, he changed his answer to suggest that he canceled his engagement because he learned that Moms for Liberty, they said, was against same-sex marriage or something like that. Even though that's never actually been a thing, they've only focused, I don't know. They've only ever focused on like age appropriate stuff in schools and not hiding, you know, and not forcing trans stuff on students and not hiding student behavior from parents. And so he just kind of like was all over with some of his answers. And he was offered a slot to speak at their event that happened like this past weekend. And he apparently wasn't with family over the weekend, but he made some stops, you know, New Hampshire and in Cleveland and at a couple of different events. I mean, I don't know if he did have family plans, but it just didn't sound very, it sounded disingenuous is what people were saying. He was asking, you know, when he was at this one event, this was at the News Nation Town Hall. There was a guy who was in attendance at the town hall, a guy named James Williams, who was like a gay activist. And he was asking Kennedy why he should vote for Kennedy after Kennedy agreed to speak at the Moms for Liberty Summit. And Kennedy said, oh, I did not speak in front of that group. And he goes, somebody on my staff accepted the invitation. I was unaware of it. So it sounds like this guy will reach over and grab his ankles the second a rage mob pops its head up. That's supposed to be tough? Really? That's supposed to be the tough thing? He's got a little wind in his sails because some people who are moderate and people on the right agreed with him on the coronavirus vaccine. We found an issue that we all fell on because it was that ridiculous. It brought that many people together. The vaccine mandate was so ridiculous. It brought that many people together. Now, that doesn't mean that someone has seen the light and become more limited government. It actually just shows you how stupid the government was that it got that many people to agree on one issue. It doesn't mean that someone's, oh, suddenly a Republican or somebody or suddenly even a moderate. To me, it sounds like this guy is all about bending the knee. Now, last year, he wanted to come on the show and he wanted to talk about the vaccine mandate, etc. And we were trying to figure out, but we also had a number of other doctors and pathologists and virologists that we had. And so whenever he wanted, we didn't want to have a day where we had two guests on the same issue, right? So the times that we were trying to get him on last year were times that we would have like Dr. Monroe on. We'd have somebody on where, you know, they were like the authority and we didn't want to bump the guy who was the authority on, you know, mRNA vaccines. So we were trying to accommodate that. And then now they don't respond at all. So that's fine. I don't care. I mean, we're just, you know, I remember one time we did have, Geert Vandenbosch. We had him on one time and that's when we were like, we don't want to have Geert Vandenbosch on one day and then have RFK Jr. on the same issue. So on one day, that's a lot for one day. We like to break it up. I mean, that's just programming 101. But anyway, long story short, as I was saying, it sounded like he heard some criticism about Moms for Liberty, and he immediately just like adopted the narrative and went through it. So he completely capitulated to the mob over however they wanted to define Moms for Liberty, wrong or not, which is, it's pretty ridiculous. I just don't know. I mean, he's right on that about, you know, that we agree on the vaccine mandate, but I just, that doesn't mean that we are like on the same page with stuff. You know, it does not mean that at all. So I just think like his history with things, like and I know some people want him to best Biden. He will, RFK Jr. will never beat Gavin Newsom. And I don't like Gavin Newsom. I'm just saying, don't get excited, because if Biden ever, the moment Biden looks like he can't swing it, it's going to be Newsom. Mark my words on that. But they had this, like, what is he? He was out there lifting weights. RFK Jr. was out there lifting weights. And everyone was like, oh, everybody's getting fit for 2024. All the press was saying the election, all these candidates getting fit for the election. But his, it was his, what was it? His wife, his ex-wife, now late wife. He was like, he was a big time womanizer. It was pretty publicly known. And she was heartbroken and was trying to keep the family together. And he apparently, according to reports, kept sex diaries. And he apparently listed all the women he slept with and numbered them, like on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess, for his satisfaction. And he would always blame the women if something went wrong. And he, I mean, this is what's just publicly reported. And they, I remember when he began seeing Cheryl Hines, and there was, you know, there was a lot of concern about his ex-wife, Mary, because he kind of put her through hell, and she ended up hanging herself at the on their property. And all of the stuff that, you know, his behavior and all of that was coming to light, etc. I just, this guy's not, you can, I mean, fine to agree with people on certain things, but this guy is not presidential material. He's not. And I don't like legacy stuff like this. It's weird because some of the same people who rail against Bush, the Bush family, are like, oh, but Kennedy. What? What? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, one of the other stories that I saw, I thought this was interesting because there's two that I saw. First, you had Marjorie Taylor Greene that was booted from the House Freedom Caucus because they said she was getting too chummy with Kevin McCarthy. And I was reaching out to some members and I'm like, okay, I don't want to start fights, but I want to know what's what. And apparently some of the House Freedom Caucus members have a list of, and I don't have a dog in this fight. I like the House Freedom Caucus, obviously, Tea Party group, but the explanation was that there were it was a laundry list of, I don't want to say offenses, but of, for the lack of a better way to say it, offenses that ultimately contributed to her getting booted out of the House Freedom Caucus. A lot of people were reporting that it was because she called Congresswoman Lauren Boebert a name, and that wasn't true. I think it was like added to the list, but the list was apparently, it was something they were considering even before that. And if you remember, over the House Speaker fight, she was like on the phone with Trump, and they were supporting McCarthy for House Speaker. And it was something that the House Freedom Caucus, which has been, I mean, always a thorn in the establishment side because they've been notoriously grassroots. Apparently that was like the big thing, was the McCarthy getting too close to McCarthy. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then this story, now the byline, normally if it came out of the Daily Beast, I would kind of be like, but just like with the New York Times, sometimes you have to pay attention to the bylines because certain people in Washington, D.C. have certain reporters that they like to leak things to. If we wanted to name names, and maybe one day I will, we will. But there are certain bylines that people leak to, and this is a byline that groups and from different camps will leak to. So that's why I thought, this is kind of an interesting headline. The headline is Trump begins to sour on spotlight hound Carrie Lake for VP. And the subheading is Trump advisors say Carrie Lake has been losing her footing with the former president because in his eyes, she always wants attention. And it starts, the story starts with, I guess, one of the grassroots polls that they had, and they were looking at whether or not she could be considered for a VP. And she's been with him like on a lot of different things, but they said she's been stumbling lately with some of the, you know, hardcore Trump base. And they said two advisors who spoke to the Daily Beast said that he thinks that she always wants attention, and they called her a spotlight hound. So one of the reasons why I was like, I don't know if I necessarily want to immediately disregard this headline because of the byline. And if you look at the person's byline, especially with certain, whether it's Daily Beast or whether it's like New York Times or Axios or even Politico, when you look at certain bylines, you can tell who is the go-to person for what camp. It's very easy to do. But they said that she's an effective surrogate, but they're not sure she's going to be a VP pick, but who knows? But they said that that's kind of how it is viewed, is that she's sort of overstaying her welcome with his own base. And they said that she spends more time at Mar-a-Lago than anybody. And that, I mean, I do think that she kind of, it sounds like she does want to be VP. She's not going to be VP because she didn't hold elected office. And I think that she's too divisive for voters in her own state. If you're not even going to be able to carry your own state, there's no way you're going to be VP. But there's a lot there. I'm telling you, there's something to it. And that's why you haven't seen any of the surrogates come out and attack this story. None have, which tells you everything. Just very interesting.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
How are you going to do your big gulp like that? A Florida man was apparently arrested after he assaulted a woman with a big gulp from 7-Eleven. How do you even do that? It was on July 5th. A 7-Eleven employee named Miles Jenkins, 35 years old, he hit a female customer with a huge cup of lemonade. He grew irritable when the customer had payment issues, and then he tossed a big gulp at her. And three other customers witnessed it. What? And apparently he was charged, detained in county jail, felony battery, and he was released. He apparently lives at a Clearwater Motel, and now faces some serious charges because he had a past conviction. He's a pedophile. So maybe he can accidentally go back to jail and be thrown in Gen Pop. Just wondering out loud, you know, just wondering. That would be, just saying, just put him in Gen Pop. That's all. Let's see. I got a couple. I can't read. No, that's okay. I'm going to do it. This one. So not that one either. This was a Florida man who robbed two banks in 2 hours, according to deputies. That's a lot. Yeah. Two banks in 2 hours. They said it was in Seminole County, Florida. He was arrested. It was in broad daylight. And he's 35-year-old, is being held at the Johnny Polk Correctional Facility with no bond. It all happened Wednesday afternoon. The span of like a couple hours. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
You are colluding and you're in the FBI or DHS or any of these with tech, you're going to get canned. You're going to be shown the door. We're going to have zero tolerance for that because it really strikes at the fundamentals of a free society.
I think that, as he said at trial, I think
that's Ron DeSantis in one of his remarks just over, because he's been everywhere. Everybody, all these candidates have. And then it goes back to Florida and signs bills. Very busy. But he was saying, look, big tech, this is it. I mean, you're not going to have the federal government colluding with these companies to try to suppress people's speech. And as much as the media wants to act like that didn't happen, that's simply not the truth at all. There are too many people that were affected by it for them to be gaslit into believing that it never happened. What is it? That's my truth. But it's the truth. Welcome back to the show. Top of this third hour. And good to be with you this Friday as we round out your week and head into this weekend. And Dana Lash here with you. Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. I'll have a wrap up for the week because there was a lot of crazy stuff that came out over the week. And then I'll send that out to you. Always good stuff that comes out to that out with Substack every day. And if you're not listening terrestrially or streaming the show, obviously you can watch the simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all good things. So we're all trying to not talk about this one bit of audio that we have on the audio list. I know it's a big story, but I legitimately want to vomit. So, because I did actually have someone say, you need to spend more time on the chest feeding thing. I'll vomit. And I'm not saying that as like a, you know, it's not an entertainment thing. I legitimately will puke. I can't deal with it. I have. Okay, so let me tell you this story so you understand my perspective. It's not that I don't think it's super important. I legitimately will get sick. So I have this tick. I guess you want to call it that. If I see someone vomit, if they even act like they're going to sometimes, or if they, you know, I can't stop it. I don't even think about it. It just happens. I'm going to tell you a horror story. Okay. One time when my youngest son was a little baby and he was in his little baby Bjorn baby carrier, right? And I had my oldest son who was like 3.5, 4 at the time. We were at the Super Walmart, right? Had to go get some groceries. I got the youngest one some fries, or the oldest one some fries, because he likes, you know, he'd sit in the cart and he'd eat his fries, or sit under the cart when kids did that. Are they allowed to do that anymore? I don't know. Eat his fries and I'd go and I'd get groceries. Well, for whatever reason, he got sick and threw up under the cart on himself. And I could not even deal with it. I knew that I had had this. I've been like this since I was a little kid. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my youngest son who threw up some fries on his shirt, or my oldest son threw up some fries on his shirt under the cart. And I just threw up on the baby that I was wearing. I threw up on my baby, all over my baby's head. It was horrible. That's like the third. That wasn't the first time that happened. It happened two other times too. Like later on in life when I'd be carrying him and I'd be dealing with a sick kid and somebody would, if a dog vomits, I will. I can't handle it. It will happen without even me being able to control it. Now you're like, Dana, what does that have to do with this story and this mystery audio that you don't want to play? So the chest feeding thing. So we had a listener who sent an email. And people vent, you know, and they were outraged. Did you see this story? Blah, blah, blah. What are they getting? What kind of noxious excretions is the child getting? And that, I got to stop there because it's already happening. And the way that they were describing it in the email, I actually had to grab my office trash can. It was one of the, I was like, oh, I just couldn't. Oh, it is so nasty. I cannot even get there to discuss it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Your mouth, like your, everything gets fuzzy and you're just like, why is that? And the sound gets quieter in your ears. And then the next thing you know, you're throwing up and falling on the floor because it's so gross. Or is it just me? It is so nasty. I cannot believe that we are having this conversation in this day and age. It is, I mean, it's one of the crazy, and the CDC is encouraging literal insanity, like actual craziness. Dudes cannot breastfeed kids. We're not calling it chest feeding. Dudes cannot breastfeed kids. It's the CDC's been, that's, and they're using our tax dollars to do this, which is the other thing. It is the craziest thing. They were trying to say that whatever males are making is also. Gosh, I guess.
It's not milk.
Oh, my ears ring. Give me a second. I'm not joking. I can't even. It's so nasty, guys. I can't. It's so gross. I know this is like a professional radio show, but I got my limits, okay? Oh, man, it's so gross, Kane. You want to jump in here?
I sure don't. I sure don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I just imagine that. Get a little hair in your mouth.
Oh my gosh. Are you? Your dad plated this mic.
He did. I don't like hair in my milk.
I'm
going to
vomit on it. Stop it.
Just saying.
Oh, golly. We're talking about this because the CDC, it's tax dollars.
Also, it's not milk.
Oh, I know it's not. It's not.
Just to be clear.
Let's not talk about what it could be. It's gross, but I just can't.
That's all.
I'm going to need some Enya almost. We're going to be at that point. Well, I mean, it is your, it's your tax dollars. Let's just talk about the economic of it, economics of it real quick. The CDC, which is a tax-funded entity, they're recommending that dudes jack themselves up with hormones and everything else, chemicals, so that they can artificially engineer some weird liquid to come out of their chest. I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel like this is anything. Actually, not to me. This is what it is. This has nothing to do with the nutrition of an infant. This has to do with your satisfaction of having a kid latch onto you. That's what it is. Let's be real. I mean, you, oh my gosh, are you okay? Because see, I kid you not, if you do it, I will. Ask anybody, you ought to know this. You know this.
Oh, I know this.
Oh. Oh. This is what our tax money's going to. Does they, the CDC was the, they came out with this and they were encouraging it. What? The agents, yeah, that's what their thing was. That's our tax dollars.
Based on what historical data?
None.
What historical data are they going by?
None.
Crying out loud.
I mean, dudes don't have that ability. That's what I can't.
On purpose.
So, and moms have been, I mean, understandably, hitting back at the CDC for this, because the CDC, they were telling people, well, look at the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine protocol, and they were trying to break down how men who are men, biological men, even if they want to cosplay as women, they can, you know, have breast augmentation and can chest feed an infant baby. No, they can't. Oh, golly. That's so, no, you can't. You're a freak. Stop it. Stop it. This is not, the kid's not getting any kind of nutritional value from you at all. This is so ridiculous. This is absolutely abusive. This isn't about feeding children. This is about you being a freak. Get mad, because I'm much more concerned about the well-being of a kid than ticking off some grown ass man who wants to cosplay as a woman to the point where they want to do this. We're not, no. And, you know, the crazy thing is that the FDA, like back in, like 20 years ago, were telling women not to use this drug called domperidone to increase milk production because it was unsafe for kids. But that's what they're giving dudes who want to identify as women? What kind of... I mean, you have to take estradiol, progesterone, the domperidone. I mean, all of this stuff to induce some kind of discharge that you want to call lactation. And you think that's healthy? Are you kidding me? How is that? That completely defeats the entire purpose of why women choose to breastfeed. This isn't about the kids. This is about dudes who want to identify as women and who are expanding their... It's a fetish. I'm just amazed at this. And they act like it's so self-sacrificial. I mean, oh my gosh. So, I mean, you're using babies as props is what it is, but it is a fetish. And these guys they're trying to redefine their fetish as an actual legitimate, some kind of nutritional practice. And it's not. And we have got to, as a society, stop accommodating this ridiculousness. It's not, this has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with nutrition. It's fetish cosplay. And they're involving kids. And it amazes me. I mean, we look back on ancient cultures and we're like, can you believe that they participated in child sacrifice? That's what's happening today. And that's what people are doing today continually with kids, whether it's abortion on demand or whether it's this kind of stuff. It is insane. And people get so upset if you say the obvious, but it is. I think it's freakish and it's they're fetishizing feeding children and it's disgusting. I mean, how is that not criminal? How is it not? Now, see, it's so gross. That's why I really don't want to. I addressed it. Do I have to play this audio?
Oh, man.
I'd be fine if you did not, because this week it's been about cocaine, chest feeding, and if we play this,
oh no,
that's the trifecta. I'm not really interested.
Just to let you know, it's audio from this dude named Charlotte Clymer, and I don't really. Oh my gosh, we're gonna have to do it, aren't we? This is the last. This is the trifecta.
It's somewhat news.
But this is the stuff that we're talking. This was an actual. Where was this at? It was at a Q&A that they were having, an academic based Q&A.
Is that right?
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, we also don't forget. We also had the lady, the menstruators thing this week, too. Listen to this. This is what we're dealing with. This is crazy. I hate everything.
I have a really good friend here. Her name is Ellie Langford, and she co-wrote a book with Elise Hogue, the former president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, about the history of disinformation and how it's been weaponized by the far right on social issues, specifically on reproductive access. And I've been thinking about this because I love this generation. I mean, Gen Z and younger are just, they're better informed, they're smarter, they're more empathetic, all the things. But every now and then, you know, I'll see something that really concerns me. And there was a TikTok video that went viral, I think, last year of this young man who was under the impression that women don't actually have a hole for peeing. And
yeah,
it's like these are things that are very easily solved by just talking to your kids and offering some context, or just basic sex ed.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Okay. Well, what a note to end on.
Yeah, and you helped it. I hate everything. Where's Smod? Where is Smod? This is the type of, this is, you know, basic biology is, contradicts what you're doing on stage. Right there. I hate everything. Let's move. We got to get into headlines and then we're going to throw ourselves off our roof.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently now Bud Light is cheaper than water. Oh. I always did think water was tastier, but they said that $20 billion Dylan Mulvaney disaster. Some stores reported a 50% decline in sales. Bottled water is actually more expensive now than, that's pretty amazing. SpaceX has a $300,000 flying car. It does kind of look cool. It looks like a giant Adidas, though. it has a range of 200 miles. And they said that FAA officials are developing policies for electrical vertical takeoff and landing, EVTOL, as well as regulations and ground infrastructure. But you have to, apparently, to even operate that, the FAA right now is proposing a rule that if you even want a car that flies, you have to become a certified pilot. And that you have to have a pilot's license to do it. I think at some point, do we really need the flying cars, though? Really? Can you imagine what that airspace is going to look like? I mean, have you seen people with drones? It's. I can't even imagine what that would look like. I don't even want to. I just can't.
Problem with parallel parking.
Exactly. Cruise ship smacks into San Francisco's Pier 27. Thousands of people were on board. It remains docked. It smashed into this pier yesterday morning. A spokesperson with Princess Cruises tells KTVU, the Channel 2 Fox affiliate out there, that they were awaiting clearance from the Coast Guard to see if the ship is deemed fit to sail. As of last night, there was no departure time frame confirmed. So apparently, I mean, everybody was okay. They had like thousands of guests on it. Travelers were allowed to get off the ship. Most passengers didn't even know. They had no idea if there's anything wrong. Then nobody felt anything. They're saying that there's a new crisis at the border. Traumatic injuries caused by falls from the 30-foot wall. Maybe if you stop scaling it, then you won't fall. There's the thought. We have more in store. Don't go anywhere.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
The United States does not seek a wholesale separation of our economies. We seek to diversify and not to decouple. A decoupling of the world's two largest economies would be destabilizing for the global economy. And it would be virtually impossible to undertake.
So that's Janet Yellen. She's been over visiting the CCP over in China. And John Kerry's expected to go to China to talk about climate. I know. He's going to go home to his Marxist roots. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And we are at the bottom of this third hour this Friday. And Yellen, she says that it would be impossible to undertake to decouple these two large economies. I don't agree with that. When she says that there is, she's, I don't agree with her on that, that it is impossible to undertake, although it would be incredibly difficult, but not impossible. However, there is a point to be made as to the first part of her statement, where she says that, well, we shouldn't decouple the two largest economies in the world. And I understand what she's saying there, because it seems silly to try to do so. But the issue is that you have one of the parties that it's not a free market. It's a communist entity that is a geopolitical threat. And not because we're classifying them of our own will as such, because they have chosen to present themselves as such, not just to the United States, but to the rest of the world. I mean, the theatrics that they pull in the South China Sea, the bullying and harassment of ships that, I mean, it's a, you want to talk about high, like a trafficked area, a heavily trafficked area, the South China Sea and trade routes, heavily trafficked. That affects everything, everybody, everywhere. And there's certain things that I think that can be done. And so I'm going to tie this into this. This is going to be a weird tie-in, but I'm going to bring the tugboat to shore. The movie Barbie. I haven't seen it. Well, it's not even out yet. I don't really plan to see it. I just don't. Mission Impossible is coming out, and I may see that just because of the one stunt that Tom Cruise was said to have done, where he rode a, they built this ramp somewhere in Norway. He apparently did 800 jumps and all kinds of, like, he had to become qualified in base jumping and all kinds of stuff. He did this. It looks nuts. He did it 5 times in 1 day, apparently, which is beyond. And they are saying that he helped save cinema. I absolutely do believe Top Gun did get people back into the theaters and liking theaters again. That was the movie for that time, and it was brilliant. And they gave China the one finger salute with the Taiwanese flag on Maverick's jacket. It was beautifully, expertly done, and I do think it helped save cinema completely. And he deserves the accolades for that. Now that being said, the Barbie movie. I don't dislike any of the people involved with it. There's a lot of pink. Do you know that so much pink was used for that film that they actually ran out of that particular shade of pink? There was a shortage of it in the world. Mm-hmm. Greta Gerwig covered everything with pink, the director. Yeah. And it seems like it's not going to be cutesy, but more quirky and smart alecky. I don't know. That's all irrelevant. Because the point is this headline here. And this is how it's presented to the public. Let me pull this up. So it says, GOP declares war on Barbie. You know, because it's the GOP. They just decide to declare war on Barbie. Warner Brothers says there's no geopolitics intended in Barbie. That's actually a really bad headline from Politico. Who's the author for this? I mean, I know it's typically the editors that choose it. Daniela Diaz wrote this piece. And I think that the headline actually doesn't do the article well. So whoever the editor is, who was the editor for who made this decision for this headline, you suck. This is horrible. She makes a good point. I will say the author gets right to it. She goes, in a Barbie world, who controls the South China Sea? That's a question a handful of Republican lawmakers are asking because of a background detail. Now, it might seem like a background detail to you, like the Taiwanese flag on the back of Maverick's bomber jacket might have seemed like a small detail. But in the context of Top Gun, it's not. It is everything. Gosh, I just love how they stood their ground on that. So with this Barbie movie that's supposed to be out later this month, the filmmakers are being accused of pandering to Chinese censors. And I don't know if you're aware of how difficult it is to get a movie greenlit in terms of opening in China, but it's very difficult. You have to submit it to be previewed by the Chinese censors. It has to go through a bunch of hurdles. And sometimes in order to even get the opening in China, because they have tons of movie screens and it's a big moneymaker. Sometimes they demand that you take things out. Like, for instance, with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Chinese censors demanded that Quentin Tarantino rewrite the portion of the film that had Bruce Lee in it because they didn't like the way that Brad Pitt's character kind of was clowning on Bruce Lee. And Tarantino told them to pound sand and they didn't get a Chinese opening. So with this, there was this background. They said it's just a background detail. And they said that it's the Barbie map. It's like this cartoonish scribbled map that's in the background of one of these scenes, right? And it shows the Chinese territorial claims in the map as being legitimate. And they think that it was to satisfy the Chinese censors, which I absolutely, completely believe that that is true. Because this is not just like a regional spat for the explanation that I had given you earlier. The South China Sea being a heavily trafficked international trade, the trade routes that go through there that affect everything from your goods, how you get your goods, how you get your medicines. If that would be impacted, if there would be any kind of dispute or conflict in that area, you would be punched in the gut. That's how it would feel. You would get hit. Everybody we'd all be dealing with it. And you want to talk about supply chain issues and price controls and all that now? Jeez, we'll just wait. So that's why it's a huge issue. It's not just a regional dispute. And so when this movie came out, or when this preview came out, it looks like a really cartoony map in the background. And it has, you know, like the different kind of continents, like drawn, the continents drawn kind of, you know, in a childlike manner. And one of the Republican lawmakers, Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, said, well, I do hope Warner Brothers clarifies that the map is not intended to endorse territorial claims. He's being kind of a smart aleck here. He goes, you know, and it was in fact in the work of a formerly plastic anthropomorphic doll, which is true, but it can be something as tiny as that, that they would actually, censors would actually say, you have to rectify this in order to get openings, to get an opening in China. And you're talking about, you know, potentially how many, I mean, you could have $1 billion. I mean, you're talking lots of money, lots of money, lots of screens. I mean, the average movie intake, I was looking at my notes here. Let me hold this up, because they have, China overtook the U.S. years ago, back in 2016. With over 41,000 movie screens, 85% of their screens are 3D. That's considered standard now. And they are outpacing everyone. Their box office, I mean, they had like a, last year, their summer box office was over $1 billion. That's $1 billion U.S. dollars, 7.3 billion yuan. So there's, and there are a number of movies that opened domestically that didn't perform well, that performed incredibly well in China. And so they, you know, people want to, they look at it, oh, well, you saved our butts with this. You saved our bottom line with that. So that encourages them to do more. You know what I mean? Think about it too. It is a great way of persuasion, films. It's a great way of persuading people to do things. It's a great way of information distribution. Think about all of the, how powerful movies like Passion of the Christ were, or movies that celebrated America's strength. Top Gun. There's a reason why Top Gun, everybody flocked to the theaters to see Top Gun. And yes, it was because it was like the first big film that they were like, no, we're not going to stream it. You got to come to the theater and watch it. And it was a film that celebrated American strength and being a badass and quote unquote toxic masculinity and all that stuff. It was amazing. It was great. So people, learn a lesson. People need to learn a lesson with this stuff. So this map in this mill, that's what some Republican lawmakers have taken issue with. And I think it's stupid to just make it, well, it's Republican lawmakers. It might be Republican lawmakers that are speaking the loudest about it, but who was it that went over to Taiwan? You know, lover or hater, Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan and China was, you know, threatening. They were saber rattling and all of this. Yes, she did wait until she was about out of the House speakership position. But nonetheless, she did go to Taiwan. I mean, that people recognize the importance of dealing with Taiwan and also keeping the South China Sea open. I mean, it's a huge issue. And for them to diminish it and reduce it down to, well, this is just Republicans fighting with Barbie. It's not about the Barbie movie. It's about the filmmakers of the Barbie film kowtowing to Chinese censors for Chinese opening because they want those theater dollars from China. and to portray the South China Sea as being a legitimate claim of China. That's what the issue is. And it is an issue. Now, going back to what Janet Yellen said, she's like, well, you know, it's impossible to undertake the decoupling of these two economies. Well, you know, you have to do baby steps. And one of those things is to stop kowtowing to Chinese censors for their screen dollars. That's one of the first things that you have to do. I mean, that's, I think, one of the little, I wish that actually got more attention with Top Gun. Because you would not believe how many films. I mean, one of the biggest players in production now, Tencent. It's Chinese run, CCP run. CCP, you can't be a successful business in China without the CCP being involved. We've talked enough about that over the years. I mean, they're involved in everything from films to gaming, all of it. And they understand that that is the takeover. That is the way that you infiltrate. That is the way that you control how things are perceived. And people might go to the movies and they might understand they're watching a fake story. They're watching a film, but there for about 2 hours, they are in a darkened theater and their suspension of disbelief is engaged and they are removed from whatever they're dealing with in life and they are on a journey. And that it is a huge part of not just entertainment, of storytelling, but also shaping perspectives. Why did people want to go see Top Gun? Because it was a badass American celebrating film. That's why. That's why. They wanted that perspective. They wanted to see it. So that's to have it, I think it's so juvenile and illiberal and shallow to just represent this as, oh, well, it's just the Republicans fighting with Barbie. That's so dumb. I mean, and it just shows you have no idea what's going on. There's a bigger story here. There's something bigger at play. Like, for instance, what we're seeing with Ukraine right now, the whole cluster bomb story. So apparently there's the proposal to send munitions over to Ukraine, right? Except this has been called previous, I think Biden said previously, well, sending this type of stuff, that would be, you know, it's kind of act of war stuff. He's authorized the transfer of U.S. cluster munitions. So that's going to, you know, that's not going to help, I think, the public's perception or support, which is already diminished because people are war weary of what's happening over there in Ukraine. And the Congressional Republicans on the House and Senate Armed Services Committee, they apparently there were some ones who really favored sending some cluster munitions, or I think what they call them, dual purpose improved conventional munitions is how they do it. So this is going to be, watch this develop, because this is going to be a big fight, because Biden has to bypass U.S. law that prohibits the production. This is from NBC, that prohibits the production, use, or transfer of cluster munitions with a failure rate of more than 1%. And They said the Pentagon assessed that the artillery shell to have a dud rate of 6%. So 4 of each of the 72 submunitions each shell carries would remain unexploded. So he's got to bypass law to even make this happen.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Russia has been using cluster munitions since the start of this war to attack Ukraine. Russia's been using cluster munitions with high dud or failure rates of between 30 and 40%. In this environment, Ukraine has been requesting cluster munitions in order to defend its own sovereign territory. The cluster munitions that we would provide have dud rates far below what Russia is doing, is providing, not higher than 2.5%. And third, we are closely coordinating with Ukraine as it has requested these munitions. Ukraine is committed to post-conflict demining efforts to mitigate any potential harm to civilians. And this will be necessary regardless of whether the United States provides these munitions or not.
What gets me, Biden back in 2005 said, cluster bombs, this is his direct quote, cluster bombs have always posed problems for responsible military forces like those of the United States. The weapons are very useful militarily, but they also carry a real risk of causing civilian casualties if they are used where civilians are present or if too many submunitions fail to explode when they hit the ground. And the voice that you just heard was Jake Sullivan. And he was speaking just moments ago to the press there in the press room at the White House. And this is all because the White House is sending, they're proposing an $800 million package that will include sending munitions like these cluster bombs. Sullivan said, Ukraine, he actually said, quote, Ukraine has provided written assurances that they will use our cluster bombs in a very careful way.
Oh, well, that's good then.
What? I mean, I get that the first casualty of war is truth, but this is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, you think? Good heavens. We're going to use... We'll be very careful with the cluster bombs is what we'll do. I just don't think that that's, I mean, they're banned in like what, 120 different countries, isn't it? Aren't they banned by treaty?
Yeah.
All right. We'll watch more of this going into next week. Today in stupidity.
Oh, it's our president. I mean, I had a lot to choose from today, but we landed on Joe Biden here. He's talking about the Hudson River Tunnel. And how you're going to be able to drive 100 miles an hour through that thing. Listen to this.
And today in New York, we're investing a record to $1 billion to renew the Hudson Tunnel. You walk through that tunnel, it was built 100 years ago. It's falling apart. You'd be able to go through it 100 miles an hour instead of 30 miles an hour.
No, there's no way you would be able to go through that at 100 miles an hour. Stupid. There's no way. I don't think he's ever been. Folks, next week we'll have Jim Jordan on the program. I hope you have a great weekend. Subscribe to the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse Substack, and I'll be back with you Monday.